Welcome back to A Sane Future. I'm your host, Rich Kahn. In this episode, we're going to try and do justice to a masterful yet disturbing new book by Robert Reich, entitled The System, Who Rigged It and How We Fix It. Reich, labor secretary under President Clinton, and a longtime Cal Berkeley professor, lays out a comprehensive history lesson on how we've gone from a democracy to an oligarchy, and how democracy must and likely will again remake itself. A week after our latest presidential election, it's hard to imagine a more timely topic to explore. We hope you agree. First, a couple of quick definitions. Democracy is defined as a system of government by the whole population or all the eligible members of a state, typically through elected representatives. An oligarchy is a small group of people having control of a country, organization, or institution. Russia is probably the best example of an oligarchy. In Reich's view, the U.S. is currently in its third oligarchy, the first being our founders and slave owners, the second in the 19th century, the era of J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, Vanderbilt, and Carnegie. In the 1930s, FDR successfully limited the power of the ultra-wealthy. That all changed in the 1980s, when the rich and powerful began to share less and less of their profits with their everyday workers. Chew on some of these Reich numbers. Since the 80s, total income of the richest 1% has more than doubled. CEO pay has increased by 940%, while the average worker's pay has gone up just 12%. In the 1960s, CEO pay was about 20 times that of the average worker. By 2019, it was 300 times as much. The percent of wealth owned by the top 0.1% has grown from 10% to 20%. The only country in which you can find similar numbers is in that bastion of democracy, Russia. With that extraordinary rise in wealth has come extraordinary political influence. So much so, according to Reich, that today's average American has essentially no influence on government or public policy. Only the interests of the wealthiest are being served. Their taxes are lower, rules and regulations are being loosened, and antitrust matters pushed to the back burner. The things that matter most to you and I, health insurance, prescription drug prices, housing and college costs, climate change, well, not so much. Thus, according to Reich, our biggest concern is not Democrat versus Republican, it's democracy versus oligarchy. The vast majority will have to band together and take America back, not just make America great again or just build it back better. This will not be easy, but history tells us it can be done. To be successful will require doing battle with organizations like the Business Roundtable, comprised of some 190 CEOs who run the nation's largest companies. Another Reich nugget which highlights the depth of the problem: today, 40% of Americans earn less than $15 an hour. One of the lead symbols of our economic dysfunction, according to Reich, is the head of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, who has acknowledged publicly on a number of occasions that our inner-city schools are failing, our system doesn't care about the poor, and trillions of dollars could have been better spent to help our society. Reich unequivocally states that talk is cheap. Despite Dimon's leftward-leaning ideologies, he has done little to correct a system that increasingly favors only the favored, particularly how big money buys political access and benefits from legislation that favors the ruling class. Oh yes, Reich does cite some positive initiatives Dimon has fostered, but says they represent a small part of the overall problem and are more public relations than anything else. Especially when you consider his company's net income of nearly $31 billion, which grew by over a third from 2017, mainly due to the extensive corporate tax cut, which slashed the corporate tax rate from 35 to 21%. To the surprise of nearly no one, the tax cut didn't provide any real benefits to the poor or working classes, again proving that trickle-down economics is actually a fantasy. Plus, by dramatically increasing the federal debt, it ensured that less money will be available where it's really needed. For infrastructure, affordable housing, education, you get the picture. His Business Roundtable group has also successfully lobbied against raising the federal minimum wage, which currently sits at $7.25 an hour and hasn't been increased in 11 years. Making matters even worse, J.P. Morgan, according to Reich, provides more financial services to gun makers, retailers, and gun buyers' borrowers than any other U.S. bank. And here's one of my favorites. 21 CEOs who in 2019 signed a much-publicized statement supporting a commitment to fair compensation to all employees and the communities where they work paid no federal income tax at all in 2018. Again, as they say, talk is very, very cheap. Thus, by combining their efforts, according to Reich, business and government have effectively rigged the system. Clearly, all that matters at this point is more profits and the enhancement of shareholder value. We love it when politicians use the word socialism to scare the minions, since what we have now, says Reich, is socialism for the rich and harsh capitalism for the rest of us. An excellent example of this is the world-class care President Trump received for his coronavirus at a government-owned and run medical center. The cost to him, zero. Zilch. Think you and I could get access to anything close to that? Think again. Socialism has been used as a poison dart for many, many years. In Reich's book, he says it was used against FDR when he proposed Social Security, and against Harry Truman, who smartly observed socialism is the epithet they have hurled at every advance the people have made. It was what they called public power. Bank deposit insurance, free and independent labor organizations, in short, anything that helps all the people. Compared to our brethren nations, the U.S. spends very little on safety nets. Nearly 30 million still lack health insurance, and approximately 50 million households can't afford basic housing, food, or childcare. Add to that the fact that streets, roads, and bridges are falling apart, classes have too many kids, and teachers don't make enough money. Throughout it all, one thing has remained constant: socialism for the rich. There's the 2008 Wall Street bailout, for example. Though most money was repaid and job losses recouped, unfortunately, 10 years later, Americans' income has barely moved. Socialism for the rich is defined by the oligarchy as not being responsible or accountable, whereas capitalism for the rest of us keeps us at continuing risk for things over which we have no control, including pandemics, job losses, medical expenses. Perhaps the scariest part of all of this, according to Reich, is that the typical American has basically no impact at all on congressional legislation. The concerns, interests, and demands of large corporations, their lobbyists, and wealthy individuals are the only things Congress listens to. Today, most of us work more hours to make ends meet, while union membership has declined as the result of union busting, as well as the growth of right-to-work states in which workers don't pay union dues. Donations by big corporations to the Republican Party in 2016 were basically investments, and they certainly received a fair return. Diamond's J.P. Morgan realized about $20 billion in tax savings over the past 5 years. Pfizer donated $16 million and realized $39 billion in tax benefits. GE's $20 million returned $16 billion. See a trend emerging here? In today's corrupted system, corporations are in essence buying the votes of politicians. The issue of money in politics came to a head with the 2010 Supreme Court ruling in the Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission. The court said that corruption is the exchange of specific money for specific votes. Put another way, it's only bribery if it's specific and intentional. Now retired Justice Anthony Kennedy said that independent expenditures, including those made by corporations, do not give rise to corruption or the appearance of corruption. I doubt most of us believe that garbage. We believe, and rightly so, that that money is buying votes and has opened the floodgates for PACs and others to throw their unlimited resources at their pet projects to buy all the influence they want. Add to that the fact that deregulation has grown exponentially during the Trump era, making it easier than ever for big businesses to pursue with impunity more and more monopolistic activities. The result has been ever more profits for the big banks and corporations at the expense of consumer protection. Wonderfully stated by Professor Reich, deregulation is another form of trickle-down economics in which gains go upward and losses trickle downward. It frees businesses to be more profitable, but increases the risk the public will be harmed, fleeced, shafted, injured, or sickened by corporate products and services. Now, if that doesn't make you depressed or pissed, I don't know what will. Reich's point is that all this leads to we average Americans getting a raw deal in comparison to other industrialized nations. Our compadres mostly provide free or very low-cost health care, free or greatly reduced college tuition, as well as guaranteed paid family leave. Still think we're the greatest country on earth? CEOs love to spout the importance of American competitiveness, but according to Mr. Reich, the real competitiveness of the United States depends solely upon the production of Americans. That in turn depends upon our education, our health, and our infrastructure. And what anyone can plainly see is that our schools are crumbling, college is unaffordable, infrastructure is not being upgraded, and our healthcare costs are rising at an alarming rate. All of this, says Reich, results in lousier jobs and lower wages. Multinational corporations will move or create jobs where it's most cost-effective, with little or no interest in improving American standard of living. Their one and only concern, the well-being of their shareholders. We Americans must loosen the stranglehold American corporations have on American policy. And as I have long suspected, the oligarchs' growing dominance can be traced to the Reagan 80s. There's been an inexorable movement of money to the top and away from the bottom 90%. The only way to reverse this trend is to get money out of politics and allow our democracy to create and enforce the kind of reasonable legislation that helps to spread the wealth around. Professor Reich's principal argument, now firmly established, is that we have moved from stakeholder to shareholder capitalism. Let me try and explain. As corporate raiders came to prominence in the 80s, CEOs became necessarily obsessed with maximizing short-term stock valuations in order to resist takeovers. This was done at the expense of all other interested parties or stakeholders. The result, fewer unionized workers, more automation of jobs, closing of factories, and the moving of jobs to other states or out of the country where labor costs are lower. Responsible statesmen-like CEOs of earlier decades were replaced by new leaders whose only function was the maximizing of shareholder values. These seismic shifts could not have happened without making major changes in laws and regulations that nurtured them. Thus, not surprisingly, by last year, corporate profits had grown to record levels along with share prices. The richest 1%, according to Mr. Reich, now own 40% of all shares of stock, and the richest 10% over 80%. Along the way, corporate bosses have made fortunes, and most workers have not. Most of their wages have stayed flat or even declined in today's dollars. Communities have suffered as well. In Reich's words, all Americans are stakeholders in the American economy. The resulting power shift, though, has shifted the balance of power between corporations and their workers, resulting in more profits and less proportionally for wages. To make matters worse, some of the richest corporations now pay little or nothing in federal taxes. America's richest man, Warren Buffett, rightly wants the super rich to pay more in taxes. But according to Reich, if he were truly the conscience of capitalism, he would be advocating for the breakup of big concentrations of financial strength. Between 1980 and 2008, Wall Street, deregulated and unbridled, became, according to Reich, a large and unchecked gambling parlor, transferring more than $6.6 trillion to financial firms. Instead of a country that actually made things, we had become a country that just made financial instruments. This ushered in the financial crisis of 2008 and the wonderful description of the biggest banks being too big to fail. The bottom half now had less wealth than before the crisis, while the richest 1% had twice as much, and the top 0.1% three times as much. Sadly, and most profound, our country has ignored poverty, climate change, increasing income inequality, and the growing problem of racism. Wealth at the very top continues to grow unabated from investments, unlike income, which is payment for work. After a few generations, posits Reich, nearly all of this country's wealth will rest in the hands of a few thousand families. Thus, we will have basically an aristocracy instead of a democracy. More alarming is that none of our fellow developed nations has the level of inequality that we have here in the U.S. Consider this for a moment. 50 years ago, when GM was the largest employer in the U.S., the typical worker earned $40 an hour in today's dollars. Today's entry-level worker at Walmart, $11 an hour. These trends can only be reversed, according to Reich, if the vast majority of those whose incomes have declined band together to demand change and fundamental fairness. The rigged system is now today's phrase of choice. The resulting rebellion of 2016 culminated in the election of an outsider whom it was hoped would begin the changing of the system. Interestingly, the political establishment, says Reich, still pretty much denies what has happened, saying it was mostly racism more than anything else. And that's partially true. What Trump really did was mobilize the increasing anger of the white working class, promising to rebuild manufacturing, bring back jobs and wages, while waging war on immigrants and trade. His mantra, the system was rigged against the little guy. Money in politics is the real issue, and even most of Trump's supporters recognize that. Sadly, though, most Republicans used the 2010 Supreme Court decision to their advantage to control the political process. Democrats, on the other hand, turned their backs on the working class while feeding from the same trough as their Republican counterparts, Wall Street and the uber-wealthy. Moderates have been replaced by either authoritarian populism or democratic populism. For change to occur, there'll need to be an agenda of radical democratic reform. Democrats will have to stand on the side of democracy against oligarchy. Oligarchs would have you believe you get what you're worth. The truth, according to Reich, really is that your fortune today depends more on where your parents fit in the system, how much they earn, their education, and who they know. The oligarchy buys its way into college curricula, nonprofits, and the media, while scapegoating immigrants and minorities. As bad as it now seems, Reich contends that democracy will find its way back. It always does. He cites the following positive steps. Criminal justice systems are being reformed. Early childhood education is on the rise. The promise of alternative energy is gaining, and worker protections are being explored. Plus, in 2018, younger Americans voted in record numbers and women are assuming more leadership roles. Systemic change will necessitate millions of us mobilizing for a concerted, continuing effort, motivated by the fact that the real battle is between a small minority who have overwhelmed the system and our vast majority who have little or no power. With Democrats and Republicans entrenched, this could very well mean the development and growth of a true third party. The challenge is huge, but essential. As Reich aptly puts it, democracy will prevail if we fight for it. I hope this episode lights a fire under many of you. The system is rigged against most of us, and we're the only ones who can do something about it. Are you ready? Willing? I hope so. Your future and the future of this planet depends on it. Thanks for tuning in to A Sane Future. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a few moments to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast on iTunes. We can't do any of this without your support. Visit asanefuture.com and follow A Sane Future on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. This is Rich Kahn. Thanks again for listening, and please arrive home safely.